The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, MyLowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to MyLowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Alright, it's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with the bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad out of bad day, bad lie, bad do, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods, where Granny likes to roll up a big fat thumb late night when she's watching horror movies and drinking her J-Mo in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show. Get up, should do. But all my friends that come around, flats and flats of patio, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should be check out. Ooh. All right, Mafia's with me tonight. How you doing, Mafia?
I see he's really
doing
excited.
Wonderful tonight.
He's really excited to do the show.
Great night to be here.
Yeah, put down that Jack Daniels and a ginger ale that you're making.
Sorry,
for yourself.
Busy counting all of Patrick Mahomes' new money.
I guess before they ship it over to him, huh? All right, so we're gonna have Rick Harrow on the show here at 25 past this very hour. Very exciting. And then in the second hour, our old buddy Carrington Harrison from Kansas City does a show on 610 in Kansas City. Mavi, does that guy still do the CBS Sports Radio stuff? I think he does, doesn't he?
Yes, I believe he does.
There you go. He used to, I think, fill in for me when I was at CBS, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I think I was the one person that was nice to Carrington. Is that about right? I was everyone was mean to him but me. All right, we got a lot going on tonight. I'm going to spend a great deal of time talking bad about the president of the United States, and we're going to talk baseball.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench, 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. Again, 844-843-6879. It's toll free. You can call and get benched. We'll talk to Haro in a little bit. I think next segment or something like that. I can't keep track of all the things I have to do around here. I've told Mafia, we have a book that we call Things to Do. It's a book of things to do. And what we do is we put in the book. We just make additions all the time of things to do. And then it keeps us abreast of everything that we need to do, when to do it, and what we're going to be doing. And it's a things to do list. And there's a lot of responsibilities here at the network. And Mafia is just constantly adding to the things to do book of things I have to do and remember to do, because I have early for Alzheimer's and I'll forget. And I blame that on reefer. So I just wanted to spend some time talking bad about the president. Would that be all right? I have to tell you, Mafia, it makes me sick to my stomach. Honestly, I cringe at just even the premise of talking about it, because you know that I don't really care about politics, right? Like, do you not know me by now that I don't care about politics?
You hate politics and politicians.
I do. I hate all of them. I think they are the scourge of the earth. I really do. I just think they're all worthless liars. And really, I just have no strong opinions of anything favorable towards any of them. No one.
Like, except Gavin Newsom. You know,
I like Gavin a lot. I think he's a great guy and a friend, right? I like him as a person, but I'm not sure, I want to follow his politics. You know what I mean? Like, I like him. I would vote for him if I lived in California. I would vote for him if he ran for president. I would do that because I like him as a friend. I would vote for him just for those reasons alone, that I'm friends with the guy, but I don't care about his policies or politics. I'm not a political person. I'm not going to sit here and act like I am. I'm not a guy that, gets into it or whatever. Whatever. You can call me whatever you want. That's fine. I've been mostly in my life a Democrat, right? Fair enough. I know that offends everyone that's Republican, right? So I'm from, I lived in California for most of my young adult life. And then I've lived in New York in my, parenting years, if you want to call them that. My age is, I'll be 55 this month, July 29th, I turned 55. So, in my 20s and 30s, I lived in California, and now I've lived in New York ever since. And Mafia, you know as well as I do that both of those states are gigantically Democrat.
Yes, they definitely are.
I mean, there's just no getting around it. So most of the people that I've ever been around in my life, coming out of school and everything, have been, basically liberal or Democrat, and, left-leaning, that's the way they roll in California and New York. And politicians, I don't care about, but, actors, actresses, the whole deal, New York, Wall Street. You know what I mean? Like Broadway, anybody, even in television and radio. Am I wrong, Mafia, that in New York isn't Isn't it just like, it's not even close. It's like 10 to 1 Democrat, is it not?
Yeah, it definitely is. You're completely accurate with that, 100%.
Okay, so what way do you lean? Like, you and I don't get into politics. So have I ever asked you that? Like, we drive every night of our lives for the last 15 years to work together until this job. We stopped doing that. I'm sure that's a great relief to you. But the reality is, I don't remember ever sitting around talking politics with you.
And we talk about the ones we don't like. We don't usually talk about who we actually do like or get too deep into it. But I mean, when I was younger, I registered Republican, just thought that I aligned a little bit more with them than the other side when I first got into things. But I mean, now I've always thought of myself more of a moderate, and lately probably swinging a little bit to the left.
Okay, so if you were to vote tomorrow, are you willing to reveal if you would go Democrat or Republican? Would you vote for Donald Trump?
No, I would not. I didn't the first time. I sure as hell wouldn't the second time.
You didn't. You did not the first time.
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. When you heard that Kanye West was running for president over the weekend, would you vote for him over Donald Trump? I mean, be serious.
Oh, man. I mean, if that's going to be what we're putting up against, then maybe I'd have to vote for him. I mean, I have to go third party then. If it's them two as the main two guys, come on.
Okay. So there's no other choice. There's no third choice. There's no moderate. There's no anything. There's two choices, Kanye West or Donald Trump. And don't say
then by default, I'd have to go Donald.
Oh, my God. You'd still vote for him?
I mean, if it's Kanye West, yeah. You know, one out crazy is the other.
Why would you vote for that guy for any reason? I would vote for a homeless prostitute. I would vote for a complete junkie, no teeth, heroin addict, meth, ice, crack dealer over Donald Trump. I would vote, honestly, I would vote for a turtle over Donald Trump. I would. I honestly, I'd vote for a murderer, a 10-time murderer over Donald Trump. Should I make up some other ones? I'd vote for a wild boar over Donald Trump. I would vote for a greasy pig over Donald Trump. Do you want me to keep going? How about a circus?
It's going to be crazier than whatever Kanye West is doing at this particular moment.
How about a court jester I would vote for? Do you want to play that clip again? I like that.
It's going to be crazier than whatever Kanye West is doing at this particular moment.
That's the greatest thing that you've played on this show ever. We've only done this show for a short period of time, though. I just wanted to say. Does it not bother you at all that this guy has, today's stuff that comes out of his mouth, does that not bother you? The stuff about Bubba Wallace, the stuff about the Redskins and Indians, does that not bother you? How about the stuff about COVID? He is trying to sell people this lying piece of shack. I don't care. You can quote me, run with it. I don't care what any of you femmes say to me about this guy. You can't faze me. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you think of me. Know it, live it. You can kiss my ass.
But now we have tested almost 40 million people. By so doing, we show cases, 99% of which are totally harmless, results that no other country can show because no other country is testing that we have.
Do you think that applies to the 41-year-old Tony Award-winning Broadway actor, Cabela, whatever his name is, that just died today of COVID or yesterday? Huh?
Well, that was probably the 1%, Scott. Come on.
Do you think all the people, the hundreds of thousands
of people
that have died?
30,000 people are a part of that 1%.
How many people have to die before this guy acknowledges that it's a dangerous pandemic? He won't even acknowledge that it exists. He thinks it's a joke. He thinks it doesn't matter and it's not doing anything to anybody. He thinks that it's pathetic that, like, he won't wear a mask. He's got that prostitute press secretary of his talking. Like, tell me she doesn't look like she's had a few. I mean, you can surmise whatever you want out of what I just said. She's had a few, I'll bet you, to get that gig. You can quote me on that one, too. Mafia's like, oh, Jesus, get the lawyer. Mafia's in there, I can tell.
So much of what he puts out is just so it's just so uninformed. Like, even just the Bubba Wallace thing, like, oh, well, you know, he should make the apology. He wasn't even the one that reported it. One of his crew reported it, dude. Get up with the times. Know what's going on if you're going to, you know, run your mouth. He didn't report it. He's not the one that called it out.
You mean the Bubba Wallace?
Yeah, one of his crew found the noose in the first place. It wasn't even him.
Right. Well, first of all, just don't even get me started on the Bubba Wallace thing yet. Would you sleep with the press secretary?
No, I would not, because she's connected to him.
Listen, I would sleep with her just to, you know, just because I'm such a great lover. I think that it'd be important for her in her development, in her job at the White House, to have the kind of lovemaking ability that I have in her life.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
For all on the bench, I'll bring Rick Haro in a second. I wanted to mention to Mafi. Mafi, what do you think of that I'm playing at 6:45 in the morning indoors tomorrow for the first time since the COVID? I'm playing at this huge basketball facility that you know of. You've been there. It's I guess they've decided to open it, but we're playing before they like open for the day, right? Because like apparently they know the guy, they know the owner of the place, and like he lets this group of you know, they're all a bunch of college and high school stars from glory days, whatever, that all play and that I play with. They're really good players. All of them are really good. It'd blow your mind playing with them. It's like playing with like Killer and Copper, all guys like that good. All 12 of them are that good. So all of them are good, right? So, but we're playing indoors. Do you think I'll die of the COVID playing indoors tomorrow?
Probably. Although honestly, you've been, you know, exposed to how many guys, how many times. It doesn't matter if you're outside or not. If you're guarding somebody right up in their face, they're trying to swat your shot, they're all up on you, and you know that saliva and stuff is flying. So even if you're outside, I'm sure you're at risk anyway. So what's the difference anyway?
Mafia said that I've been exposed to a lot of men. He just said that on the show. Well, don't worry, you've been exposed to a lot of men. I just want to move on after that comment. Let's bring in Rick Haro, who's probably laughing right now after hearing that.
No, I just can't disagree. I mean, what can I say? It's just, you know, that's probably the truest thing you've said all day, and I've been with you a lot today.
I've been with you a lot lately as well, Romeo, so you get included in that conversation as well, because apparently you like hanging around me too, like all the other men.
Yeah, but not swatting your not swatting your whatever. I would much rather play golf with you and keep my distance, and knowing how you hit the ball on the fairway. If I'm down the center of the fairway, I'm pretty socially distanced from where you're going to go to your ball, by the way.
I just have to ask this question now. I know that you think I'm a pervert and everything, but would you sleep with the press secretary of the United States?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Total turnoff. Intellect to you, I mean, other than your significant other, which I know is different, but most women to you are, you know, it's not an intellectual thing for you. Yeah. I couldn't have one word with her, especially when she defended the, this is probably a politically correct show, so I should probably leave it alone. No. But you asked me a question, the answer is no, I wouldn't.
Okay, so I would, because I would sleep with her because I want her to, I would want to expose her to his idiocy. I need to get through to her to let her know that she has completely sold her soul to the devil. She's working for the devil, He is the devil. And the things that come out of his mouth, only Satan could say those things. Like, first of all, COVID, it's not legitimate. It's a hoax. There's no such thing. Only 0.0000000% of the people get it. And the ones that get it, nothing happens to them. They're fine, except, you know, like I just said, the Broadway star with his Tony Awards and his wife and newborn son who died yesterday at 41. Tell him, right, or the hundreds of thousands of people that are dead, tell them. No, but he thinks it's a joke. And then he thinks that the Redskins and Indians conversation, that both of those teams are idiots because they should fight for their racist names to continue. And I'm sure he'd say the same thing about the Braves in Atlanta. And then he tops it off by saying Bubba Wallace owes everyone an apology for the hoax they pulled off with the noose in his garage. Like, can you even imagine the stuff that comes out of this moron's mouth? I don't care.
Well, but let me tell you,
good about that guy.
Classic PR is to disarm the angry man. And Bubba Wallace's comment this time was really good. He said something like, the world is about love, and I will love people even if they hate me, which is probably the right way to deal with that. And by the way, just to change the subject only slightly, I was talking to a well-placed baseball executive today who was ruminating about whether the Braves would change their name before the All-Star game next year, which is interesting, and then the Indians after it. But then we kind of devolved into, what about the Redskins' nickname change? How about pigskins? Do you like pigskins?
I think pig ears would be better. Have you ever given your dog pig ears?
Yeah. Hey, come on, man. I thought I would kind of contribute something positive. I've only seen the monuments, the presidents, the capitals. I mean, that stuff is it's old, it's tired. The senators, and I like the pigskins. So there.
Do you think that I said today on Coast to Coast that even Dick Nixon was a better president than this clown? Do you agree with that?
Oh, we're going back to that. Well, you know, history will judge. I will tell you that. History will judge. Although we had 8 years to judge. No, we didn't. We had four plus a bit of a second term to judge that. I'm not sure we have two terms to judge this.
If Kanye West wins the presidential election, will you, Ricardo, wear Yeezys on the golf course or to?
No, but you know what I'll do? I'll wear what I wore today on Coast to Coast. I wore all black. I don't know, but I got a lot of positive comments, even if they came from people in my family. A Gary Player lookalike, a Will Smith lookalike. Somebody said Johnny Cash. What about that?
Yeah, we actually had some other comments about your outfit today on the show right after you left. Did you want to hear some of those?
Yeah, tell me.
You were going to a casket. That was your
death suit. Thanks.
That you were dressed in black, that you would have looked great in a casket. Was there any other ones, Mafia, that were good? I thought that one was pretty effective.
Mafia, be careful, man. Be careful. Just be careful.
Mafia has been really, really slow on the mic tonight. Like, I asked him how he was doing at the beginning of the show. He answered me 7 minutes later.
Like, it's a hard question. It's a metaphysical question. You can't always answer that one. It's okay.
All right.
I'm with him.
So, listen, whatever. Like, I don't know. Right. He could actually be in a mode of refusing to comment based on ever since I said I wanted to sleep with the press secretary. He feels as though that my short window life now, my career is ending.
Is it even shorter? The window is closing. It's like he can barely get the breeze out of there. Well, I would advise him to keep doing what he's doing if that's the case, because it is very effective, and it does add to longevity at the network. I will say that.
Listen, I'm a great lover. Most people know this already. It's been established. So we'll just leave it at that. Most women.
Yeah, we are. We're going to leave it at that. Why are we even going there? Okay. So we go from the president to that. So, all right, let's go. How about them? What do you want to talk about? Which bubble? You want to talk about soccer's bubble or baseball's bubble?
All right, let me ask you some serious questions now. I'm taking this show back over from you. Here we go. I will ask you questions, and you will answer them accordingly. Here we go.
Go ahead.
First of all, counselor, can we, and respectfully, I have exactly 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Let me start with this. As you've had time to absorb the Patrick Mahomes money, it's gone from $400 million to over $500 million since Coast to Coast today. Do you believe those numbers? And then how do you feel about it overall after it, like, sunk in?
It's inevitable. It's still important to the ongoing value of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what the number really is because I don't know what the guaranteed number is, A, and B, I don't know who pays the insurance policy if there's a career-ending injury, just like we said about 5 hours ago. We'll know that in the next couple of days. But it's being viewed, and the, you know, Lee Steinberg certainly wants to make this case because it's his credibility. It's being viewed as the biggest contract in the history of pro sports. That comes out of his mouth. So I'm not sure if it is or not, but it's huge.
Hey, do you feel, because I just want to be clear, I know that everyone else has turned this into Dak and Deshaun in terms of Prescott and Watson are next in line for these gigantic type numbers. And I do not believe for 1 minute that either one of them will get anywhere close to that number.
I would totally agree with you for maybe this reason only, not talent, but Mahomes has been a proven commodity for two straight years, including winning the first Super Bowl in the 50-year history of the Kansas City Chiefs, or 50 years since the last Super Bowl, let's put it that way. And he's a proven commodity. Those other two guys are amazing. I think Watson is one of the more incredible athletes I've ever seen. But, let's win consistently in the playoffs, and then we can start talking about a high number.
Would you give, I have 1 minute, so 45 seconds, would you give either one of them anywhere near $40 million a year? I wouldn't give either one of them $35 million.
I think it has a significant impact on a franchise when you give somebody that amount of money with the salary cap, no matter what it is. I think Kansas City is probably in a better position to absorb that because of Mahomes' proven leadership. I do think that at the end of the day, you have a deal that is speculative with those other guys, and you really don't know, and that's the problem.
Okay, when we come back, I want Rick Haro to break down how much money that is for a billionaire owner in the NFL to shell out to one player. That is truly amazing. I want to know how they do it because Haro goes to dinner and golfing with these types of people all the time. He knows all about that Hunt family. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Rick Haro on our sports business on the FOTB late night show. So, Rick, explain to me and the audience. I think they, everywhere they want to know, including Armed Forces Radio all over the world. They want to know, how is it that one guy can garner that kind of money from an owner on any professional sports team? Like, this is the biggest contract ever in sports history, until the next one comes along in 5 minutes. But how is it that the Hunt family can actually pay one guy that much money, and then they still have to run their operation and pay everybody else and run a business? How do you handle that kind of number on your books?
Well, they got independent wealth, which is very, very important. You know, the Hunts have been one of the richest sets of families for years in the United States. They bought the Dallas Texans and moved them to Kansas City way back in the 60s. And it's a silver family. It's an energy family. But the point is, they've got to stay within the salary cap. So they'll adjust it and prorate it over time to stay within the cap. They made a calculated decision that position with that person is so critical to the rest of the team that they can tolerate not paying others top dollar, maybe not having as deep a all-star team. They'll count on some players coming to them for not a boatload of money or re-signing because they think they're building a dynasty, and dynasties are hard to come by here. And if you don't think so, ask how many players or how many teams besides the Patriots have been a dynasty. When you look at how the Patriots are constructed, you know, they don't, Brady's there, but Brady's ultimately not there because they didn't pay him the money, the big money. But at the end of the day, you had a situation where you have a lot of interchangeable players because the quarterback position was set and the system worked. So that's what they're counting on. Certainly when you make a decision like that, it's not easy. And the question is the guarantee, that's significant. The injury payment, that's significant. But if the franchise is worth anywhere from $3 to $4 billion, especially with the Super Bowl, it is a significant amount of money, but it frames the brand of the franchise.
Do you feel that that they are a dynasty in the making, and that they will win more Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes? Because I have to tell you that I won't deny that obviously they won it. I mean, I'm not stupid, but I got to tell you, if you ask me, the Niners should have won the game. They blew it. I mean, they remind me of the, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Falcons, a 25-point lead, but, you know, you're up 10 in the fourth quarter. I guess anything can happen, but, you know, I don't know about a dynasty. People are very quick with that term, very loosely used. A team wins a championship and suddenly they're going to win multiple championships, and a dynasty is, as a can of it has been opened up, and they're all drinking the Kool-Aid. I have to ask you, do you believe that they're going to win a bunch of Super Bowls with him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my comment would be that it certainly increases the likelihood of that. He's so gifted at that position that he makes everybody else better. I know that's pretty trite, but they have a pretty stout young defense, and they've got a great tight end, and the running backs are kind of interchangeable. They got speed all over the place, and they've got a system that looks like it will compete for a number of years. This is not a flash in the pan team. And so if you're not a flash in the pan and you're going to be one of the top four or top two teams every year in the next few years because your quarterback puts you there, then you have a pretty darn good shot of winning a few and becoming that big D word. But the Hunts sure think so, because, you know, you don't spend $500 million on somebody you think that's going to win one or two. You spend that money on somebody you think is going to win a lot.
Fair enough. Let me ask you, I want to shift gears a little bit. We talked a little bit today about the NBA going back into business here at the end of, well, in the coming days, and at the end of the month, they're going to start playing again. We talked about that number that you wrote about in the 15 to watch, about $150 million is going to cost him to get that whole thing going in Orlando. I suggested today that that was really a lunch bill for him. But you said to me the interesting thing about it was that you said that it's to basically stem the losses, that they're spending $150 million to stem, you know, in not so many words, the losses that they're going to have. Can you elaborate on what's happened fiscally to the NBA with the shutdown of COVID? Obviously, they lost tons of money, but are they not going to make some of it back finishing their season and having an NBA playoffs and a championship?
Well, yeah, and it's from television, obviously, and it's a $1.7 billion deal and a little more over time. And it's all interconnected because, remember, ABC, ESPN, Disney, it's all the same entity. It's in the bubble. They'll have a television relationship that's all kind of the same partnership. And part of the deal is, you know, how do you lose less money than you would have otherwise? And the way to do it is to spend that $150 million or so, maybe $2 million a day, as basically rent to set the facilities up, 1,500 medical support, security, transportation, a lot of people, a lot of hotel rooms. So it's a big deal, but you're moving around a business, and the business doesn't have to move like baseball does with 32 bubbles. And so it is, I think, probably a really good idea to do this pay whatever cost it is. And I agree with you. It sounds like a big number. But what it does is protects the NBA from losing a lot more.
So if you were, because you're down there in Florida, you live on the rich part of the street down there in lovely Jupiter. In fact, it's funny. I was talking to a guy today and he said, yeah, my dad moved to Jupiter, Florida. And I said, oh, is that right? I said, that's a great place. I said, my friend lives there. He's on my show all the time. You may have heard of him, Rick Caro. He said, yeah, I know that guy. And then I said, so what prompted your father to move to Jupiter, Florida? And he responded by saying he loves going to massage parlors.
Oh, boy. There you go. I knew you'd get that in there somewhere. Well, everyone that matters is closed. Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. How's that?
Here's the question. So if you, because you live down there with all the rich people that get pulled over for DUIs, would you go to that bubble if they allowed Rick Caro? Because you cover sporting events like no other. You're the inside guy at every big sporting event, NBA Finals, otherwise. You go to everything, owners meetings, you name it. Would you go to that bubble and feel safe being there that you weren't going to get the COVID at you're in my ripe age?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, honestly. And it's not just a hypothetical question because, you know, they let some media and beat writers in, and I think they're not going to allow it, even if I decided to make that choice. But they're going to test people every day, and they're going to give them the treatment. But the numbers are so overwhelming that even if you test people and have them move around a little bit in the bubble, you know, you're still going to have a fairly significant positive number of tests. So then you got to be careful. You got to make sure you're socially distancing. You got to make sure that you have the mask. So right now, if you ask me the question, and if I had a credential, and if I knew that I would cover it, I'm still not sure, to be honest about it. I know it's a punt.
So let me ask you this question. In your grand, idea of everything that's going on, if you were to wrap it all into a ball and you saw the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball getting set to embark on what the golf's already done, the Premier League, the UFC, boxing, horse racing, they've all gone out and started their sports. And you know that they're about to start baseball on July 23rd, then the, you know, August 1st, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then basically the 30th, I believe, is the NBA, right? So let me ask you, do you believe, after you have sat there and told me that today they had over 11,000 new cases in Florida, are you going to sit here and tell me that you actually believe, you're the smartest guy I know. You went to Harvard. You're a lawyer. Do you believe that they're actually going to pull this off? That these three sports are going to go down and start their seasons wherever they are, and they're going to actually make it work and finish the deal? Or do you think it's all in for – we're in for something that's cataclysmic, isn't it? I don't even know the word.
Cataclysmic, but we're not.
Thanks.
So here's what we're in for. We're in for – all three sports starting. I think we're in for a rocky time that the commissioners understand could happen but hope doesn't. And I think there's going to be a judgment day, let's say, and I'm just making this up, second, third week in August, where a significant number of athletes, not just executives, get tested positive. And then you got to worry about what the ripple effect is. Do you bring the replacements up where the team doesn't look like it used to, or do you throw the white flag in and lose the money and the credibility and the I tried hard, but I couldn't get it done? I think we're going to emerge from that, but just because you start doesn't mean you're going to finish.
It's like me saying cataclysmic.
Well, no, I said it a little better than that. If Mafia's there, could we kind of – can we save that? Because I really want to use that down the road.
Cataclysmic. Don't try. Cataclysmic.
Just because you say it faster doesn't make it better.
Do you know what? Here's another one for you. 34C always says this. Synonym. She can't say cinnamon. She says cinnamon.
Seriously?
Yeah,
I hope she's not listening because she's going to beat you up when you get home.
Cinnamon. Hey, Mafia, how do you say ask?
I say it as ask.
No, you don't. You say it as axe. He axe.
Oh, no. That's one of those things. That's one of those, you can look for it, and if somebody says that, it's like, oh, boy. You don't say it that way, do you, Mafia?
He does.
I do not. All lies.
He's a liar. So now that you've seen the NHL CBA deal, 4 more years, I think they got out of it, right, Rick? Did you see that tonight?
Yeah. 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 And by the way, it's a testament to, let's get it done now because things may not get better and we're in it together. I find it really interesting that Don Fehr, who was viewed as a guy who couldn't make a deal anywhere, leaves baseball. Baseball has trouble making a deal this time, goes to hockey. The guys basically don't like each other, people say, Gary Bettman and Don Fehr, and they make a deal. So it's people understand that what is at risk sometime, especially in these troubling times.
Do you think Donald Fehr, I have 1 minute, so you have 45 seconds. Do you think Don Fehr is the best players negotiator that you've ever seen in terms of any sport?
Well, Marvin Miller and some of the guys who preceded him, but he's the only guy who's made the transition successfully between the baseball organization, which is really different, and hockey. Hockey is more two countries labor law than just one. There are 50 differences, and he took a while, but this deal is a testament not just to Gary Bettman, but it's also a testament to the labor guys.
All right, Rick, great stuff. Have a great week. I'll see you soon on Coast to Coast. Thank you for all your insight and wisdom. I'm going to go back to talking bad about the president and sleeping with his press secretary now.
Go ahead. See you. Bye.
Thank you. That's Rick Carlson. Oh, and then he hangs up on us. All right, for all on the bench. I just noticed, like, I was watching MLB Network, and I am friends with Matt Vasgersian, right? Cataclysmic. I can't even say it, Mafia. It's unbelievable.
Cataclysmic.
I still can't do it. Cataclysmic. 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 So anyway.
Did she really say synonym for cinnamon?
She says synonym, just like you say axe.
I do not.
Yeah, you do. So, I usually only screw up words when I'm drunk or high, and I'm neither. So it's a real issue now that I can't say cataclysmic. So anyway, the thing I wanted to say is
there you go. You got it that time.
I did. Thank you. I'm friends with Vasgersian, who's cataclysmic. And I know Harold Reynolds is on there with him, and I think his name's Verducci, right? So they're all wearing like those, dress tennis shoes. Have you ever seen that? Like fetish going on in television mafia where all the hosts on TV now wear, have you ever seen them like on ESPN and MLB Network, NHL? They all wear these dress tennis shoes. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah.
Like all the,
yeah,
they wear suits.
They look cool and in touch and young with it. And it's right. Really not.
Like they wear, because they don't want to be at work all day for 8 or 10 hours, doing their tough TV job, with their makeup on and everything. It must be really tough to, wear dress shoes. So they all wear tennis shoes that are like dress tennis shoes. They look like Keds. Look at them. Like, turn it on. They all are wearing the exact same shoes. I'm like, what are they? Do they make them? Are they all outfitted? Every TV host is outfitted with dress tennis shoes. I don't wear those. Those are for femmes. I have to wear flip-flops because I have broken feet from basketball.